voice of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. This is Jack Valinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
Brian Levinka.
Summer Iman.
And Glenn Holt. And tonight on Queer Voices, the annual Houston Gay Pride Parade is now less than 2 weeks away. But it's more than just the parade. Gay Pride in Houston is a whole week of activities, starting this Saturday. Frankie Quijano, the president of Pride Houston, will be joining us shortly with details on all of the festivities. In news wrap, June is Pride Month all over the world, and there are reports from Rome to Spartanburg, South Carolina, on celebrations and condemnations. For example, the right-wing Florida Family Association chartered an aircraft to pull 7-foot-high banners above the Disney World area, warning potential park-goers that gay people would be there during the Gay Pride Parade. They thought that idea was brilliant, but it didn't deter families from going to the park anyway. After news wrap, GALO, which stands for Gay and Lesbian Latin Organization, is gearing up for Orgullo Week during Houston Pride Week. GALO has celebrated Orgullo, which is Spanish for pride, Orgullo Week, for the past 5 years. This year, GALO has added Mr., Ms., and Miss GALO Houston 2011 to the festivities. These individuals will serve as more Latino voices within the larger GLBT community. This Saturday, GCAM will present Eros, Men, and Abstracts. GCAM stands for Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, and Saturday's art exhibit will help raise money for GCAM. It takes place at the Mixed Emotions Fine Art Gallery in Midtown. Craig Farrell and Judy Reeves will join us with details on that and the GCAM History Tent at the Pride Festival. In a feature segment later tonight, This Way Out reports on the stage appearance of Lady Gaga at EuroPride this past Saturday at the Circus Maximus in Rome. It includes a clip from her live performance, Born This Way. So we got lots, and it's all about pride.
Right, and we have actually an open segment in the second hour, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Gay Awards, or the Tony Awards, which, you know, which, of course, Brian is so up to date on, because he
Broadway.
Goes to
Broadway.
Yes. So, and we're also going to talk about the rally that the governor is going to hold in Houston on August 6th, which, of course, I'm sure every program here on KPFT is going to be talking about. So, happy Pride Month, and already the heat's here. It's probably hot enough to have another Stonewall Rebellion, because in 1969 in New York, that's one of the things that sparked that rebellion, the fact that it was so hot in New York in early June, rather than waiting till September or August or September when it usually gets really hot. Huh? So how hot is it?
Wearing pantyhose in this heat will make anybody mad.
Yes. So all that's coming up. We've got a really exciting show, and we will get to it very shortly.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show that. Reach for you. And girl, you're starting to criticize the little things that I do. It makes me just feel like crying. Cause baby, something beautiful's dying. You lost the love feeling. Now it's gone. down on my knees for you.
Hey, Jennifer, what do we have going on for the first segment?
Well, guess what? You know, Pride's coming up.
How do you know it's Pride?
Because I'm filled with it.
No, your skin is about to combust.
I have the tingle. I have the tingle on my skin. No, what? The kickoff is this coming Sunday, the 18th. The kickoff of Pride. It's all Pride. All the time.
Pride, 24 hours, starting this weekend.
Which culminates with the parade on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
Night.
We have the head honchos here with us from Pride, Frankie Quijano and Paul Allen. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, so we know a lot of events are coming up, and we want our listeners to be informed, so give us the laydown.
All right. Well, starting this Saturday, the 18th, we actually have our opening ceremonies, which will be held at Jones Plaza, and our own mayor will be there as well.
And is she going to have, like, fireworks shooting out of her hands, or?
No, we don't have that type of budget, but there definitely will be some entertainment for everybody to have
the time. Some Pride-type revelry, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. And then afterwards, you know, just walk across the street to the Gay Men's Chorus show.
Okay, and so that's Saturday.
It is, yes. And then on Sunday, we have Divas of Diversity.
Yes.
It's the kickoff for the national tour, and local Vicky Shaw, as well as Mona Cooper, and a few other comedians from Logo and Comedy Central will be there to entertain the crowd.
Listeners of Queer Voices will remember that we had them on the show, and that they are hilarious. And
absolutely. Now, on the Sunday, where is it going to be?
It's actually
going to
be at the Houston Club.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so we're at Sunday.
All right, and Sunday. Well, Monday is actually we like to call it our day of rest. That's what we actually prep for the rest of the week.
It's Queer Voices night. That's
And that too, yes. And then Tuesday we have a Pride Happy Hour. It starts at 7 o'clock at a local F Bar.
Okay.
Okay. And then on Wednesday we have Dine with Pride, where you go to a local establishment called Chelsea Grill. I'm sure everybody's been there.
Mm-hmm.
Quite delicious.
Yes.
And you can go there, and a portion of the meal will go to Pride Houston.
Okay, so we're up to Wednesday.
Yes, and then Thursday is, well, if you've been hiding in a corner somewhere, we have a little singing competition known as Pride Superstar.
And we're down to, what is it, 8 or 5?
We are down to the final five.
Final five.
The final five will compete this Thursday, and it will be the final four. And actually, at the Gay Men's Chorus show, the final four will go, and they will actually compete for another time to select the final three, and the audience will actually choose it.
That'll be the live show.
Correct, yes. And it's actually no text voting, so you actually have to go in order to vote for your favorite contestant.
And we're going
to
have the finalists on the show next week.
Ooh, how excellent.
So that's a tradition we have, so we're going to have them on next week.
And then next Thursday, which is the 23rd, is the finale. So we crown our new winner.
Okay, so next Thursday, okay.
Yes, and it's at Meteor Lounge.
Okay.
It's been there for the past 6-plus weeks now, so.
Yeah.
And then on Friday is, you know, the big day, which is, you know, we have what we call Rock the Runway, which is a fashion, I like to call it an extravaganza. It's a show, plus we have, you know, it's hosted by Logo TV's Jonathan Lovitz, as well as...
Who we must note as the celebrity Graham Marshall.
Yes, yes.
And that'll be his first time in Houston?
No, actually, he's flying in on Thursday for the Pride Superstar finale, so you get to see him there.
So another... carrot to dangle for to come out to see
and
the Pride Superstar.
He's a pretty yummy carrot if you've seen his pictures.
I would say a very chiseled carrot if you.
No, is this his first time to Houston?
His partner was from Houston, so he's been here before.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
So he knows the lay of the land, or as I say, the gay of the land.
Yes. He lives in New York now, but he'll be flying in. And then on that Friday, which is Rock the Runway, we also have Kimberly Locke from American Idol. She'll be doing a concert that evening.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this will be held at our local South Beach, keeping it in the Montrose.
Okay.
And then, of course, the big gay day of days, which is Pride, which is Saturday, June 25th. The festival starts at 1 o'clock, ends at 7. And then the parade actually starts 30 minutes earlier this year.
Now, why are we doing that this year?
Well, we've kind of grown to a point where we need to start a little bit earlier.
It goes long.
It does go long, and, you know, obviously the city's kind of asked us to end on time. And for the more people we have, the longer it takes. And
how many entrants do they have to it this year?
Right now, we have a little over 115 parade entries so far.
Oh.
Yeah. And we have a cap of 125.
So we're bumping up against that.
Yes, we are.
So, okay, starting 30 minutes early. So you're hoping to end a little bit early, I guess.
Well, actually, with the many number of entries that we have, we'll probably still end at the same time, so close to 11 o'clock.
Okay, and that's what the city wants.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, but we will always keep it a nighttime parade. That's a tradition that we've started here in Houston, and we'll always continue to do so.
Now, listeners of Queer Voices, can you imagine a daytime parade? I don't think so.
Not in this heat.
No, it'd be like the March of Death.
Yes.
People would be falling out left and right. Okay, so that's Saturday night. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through all of the events. There's a lot of events. And I realize and I understand that you've added events for the whole week this year. And that's something new.
Yes. Typically, it's always just been the one Saturday that we've had, the festival and the parade. This year, we just kind of decided, you know what, let's make it more attractive for people who want to come throughout the nation. Make it an attraction people want to come to
Are you getting a lot of hits and response from out of the city, out of the state?
Well, we are. We've contacted a few local hotels that we've been partnering with, and we've been in touch with them, and their room reservations have gone up, and most of them have been actually out of state.
Very good. Now, what's a typical crowd in years past, and what do you expect this year?
It can vary, obviously, with the heat throughout the day. The festival is a little light. Last year, it was quite packed. I think we estimated the festival around maybe 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as the sun goes down and the party really, truly begins, the parade is just completely packed. And I think at one point, the HPD estimated it at around 200,000.
Which is crazy.
Just a little bit. We're the second largest parade in the city, so next to the rodeo. Now,
are you expecting that this year?
We're actually expecting it to increase.
Okay.
And we always expect it to increase every year, so we make room for that. And, you know, take safety into consideration as well.
So what are some tips and tricks that you can give our listeners for Pride? Give us some Pride survival tips and tricks.
I would say lay off the alcohol. I would definitely say instead of the beer.
Now, the clubs aren't going to like to hear that.
Well, you know what? But during the parade, it's about safety. What happens after into the clubs? It's a different issue.
It's a celebration, and people want to have a little fun. So,
but sometimes that fun can be a little, go a little too far.
Okay.
So if anything, just remember to stay hydrated. If you're going to drink, stay hydrated. You know, obviously we've got Pride EMS out there. We've got Houston Fire Department out there to take care of any medical issues that are there. But at the most, please stay hydrated and kind of watch a little bit of what you're drinking.
So have Pride celebration in moderation.
Yes.
Just know your limits.
Yes.
Now, are you needing volunteers at this point?
We are. And for that...
I think we need to talk to Paul. Come on, Paul. Give us that sexy voice.
Okay. We actually have a larger volunteer need this year than we've ever had in the past because we've added all these extra events. So, at all the events that Frankie was talking about earlier, we're going to need volunteers to help us set up the events. And then help people at the events and collect registration information, things like that.
So how do you get volunteers?
We solicit through Facebook, and the easiest way that someone can sign up to be a Pride Houston volunteer is if they go to our website, pridehouston.org/volunteer, and on that page we have all the different jobs listed.
Okay, so listeners, if you're out there and you're like feeling extra proud and you want to get involved and do something good for the community, go to the website. Now, last weekend we had the Grand Marshals on, and one of the questions that was posed to the Grand Marshals was, is Pride relevant? And I was going to get your take on that.
Well, I will agree with what they have said before. Pride will always be relevant in an era where there's still bullying going on. You know, this is the one day that certain people can actually, you know, quote unquote, come out of the closet and just be themselves, be who they truly are, whether it's in leather, whether it's, you know, as femme as you want to be, makeup to the sky. It's that one opportunity you get to be who you want to be, and you're surrounded by what I like to call family. Mm-hmm. You feel comfortable and you can do what you want within legal limits.
Right. And there's such a great, if you've never been to Pride and the parade, there's such a feeling of family, and it's people that you never see. I mean, these people, I don't know where they must come in from out of town, but there's just thousands of people that just gather on the street, and it's a huge, just family, warm feeling. You know, we're all happy, and, you know, for one day we can unite and not be discriminated against.
Mm-hmm. You know, over the years, I've been to the prides since I came to Houston, and what I've seen is a subtle change in the parade. At one point, it was rather risque and way out there, but I've noticed over the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's very family friendly,
mm-hmm.
and so the people out there who haven't been to the pride parade need to realize that. What has caused that change?
Well, we've just tried to make a bigger strive to make it more family-oriented. For example, in our festival, you know, typically our celebration is considered, you know, the big party. In our festival itself, the Houston Dynamo is actually sponsoring our new interactive family fun zone. So there'll be inflatables, you know, golf, mini-golf, soccer sets, and they'll be out there as well. So we're doing a lot more. You know, we're having face painters, caricature, balloon artists out there, something to really include the family. So they can bring it and they can enjoy the festival throughout the day. But in regards to the parade, yes, a lot of our entries, we've kind of told them, you know, let's start incorporating everything. Granted, be who you want to be and do what you want to do, but let's do it in moderation so we can get the rest of the community out there as well. It's not just the inner loop that this belongs to.
Well, I to follow along with that, the changes have occurred because we have families now. You know, we adopt children and we have family, and so we want to bring our families there. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I have a young tween that'll be on my, you know, in my segment on it. Because she's, you know, she's came out to her middle school, and so she wants to be in part of the parade. It's about the lessons we've learned from the past and standing up.
And to me, Pride is a history lesson, and it's about, you know, the struggle that we've been through, and of course the Stonewall riots, but how are we this year, and how's Pride commemorating Stonewall and giving that lesson to the next generation? How are we celebrating the history of Pride?
Well, we actually have a section within our festival that falls underneath the Arch group, where they dedicate a section to just teaching everybody about Stonewall. I know that they're giving away some DVDs about the Stonewall riots to kind of inform the youth. And I feel that's a little bit lost in today's youth. Well, everybody understands Pride as, okay, it's the time to party, but really, what does it truly mean?
Well, I love the question, why is Pride in June? And it's an instant history lesson, but, you know, I don't know if we're reaching the younger generation, because they just kind of, they see it as like this crazy celebration where people wear dresses and go crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, because a lot of them weren't around or don't even remember the strife that we went through during that time.
Exactly. But I think it's, you know, our mission as people involved with Pride to educate them. And, you know, I would highlight the history tent.
If I were someone out there in the audience who, you know, I've heard about Pride, but why Pride? Why did it start? And what is it for?
Well, Pride started way back when with the Stonewall riots, where, you know, obviously we were discriminated against. And from there, they decided, you know, just to walk through the streets and to kind of show who they truly are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just evolved all around the world, actually, to what it is today, where, you know, groups go around and just showcase who they are, the services they provide, and what they can do for our community, or even just show that they are supporting our community. A lot of the organizations involved may not even be LGBT organizations, you know, large corporations, just to show the diversity that they include.
You know what I like is I think you get a lot of the kind of the small town and kind of the rural gays, you know, that come in mm-hmm. from, you know, an hour out of Houston and kind of come into the big city and celebrate this kind of beacon of hope and light and mm-hmm. pride during Pride Weekend. And I know that that's a huge, meaningful event for many, many people.
And, you know, since you mentioned history, this year, actually, what's a little bit different about Pride is we're actually publishing our own Pride Guide, our own magazine.
Oh.
And within that, we actually have some history pieces that will actually inform, you know, the youth that we talked about. We've got many copies coming, and you'll actually be able to get your first copies at our at our at this coming Thursday at Pride Superstar.
Okay, so Thursday.
Yeah. We've got some secret things in there. And you know, obviously, we have a grand map of everything, our festival and parade and a listing of everybody.
That's good.
In there. Yeah.
So what else is new for 2011 for Pride?
The big thing really is our magazine. We've put our heart and soul into publishing this magazine, and it truly is something unique.
I think actually it's Chris's heart and soul, because he's over there kind of pointing to his chest.
Yes, and I definitely will give credit. Chris Atwood, our marketing director, has really put his heart and soul into it, and has done amazing things with him and his design team. And it's something really, really, truly unique. Obviously, we have a few LGBT publications out there, but this one is just dedicated to Pride in itself.
Okay, so as we're wrapping up, let's remind our listeners of the major events coming up and where they can get more information.
Okay. Well, where you can get any information is at our website, which is pridehouston.org. The major events that we do have coming up is our opening ceremonies this Saturday, June 18th, at Jones Plaza.
And you got to come to that because the mayor is going to kick it off. And
You've got to.
And another, like the mayor's welcoming you.
And then another one that I would really like to stress is Rock the Runway, which is happening on June 24th, which is a Friday, with Kimberly Locke, Jonathan Levitz from Logo. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really amazing event, and it's really the only Pride event, official Pride event, that's happening that day.
Well, I'll be at all Pride events starting this week. So
why is that?
Because I have been fortunate and honored to be now named the male grand marshal for 2011.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, congratulations.
So I'm kind of carrying the banner and the flag for Pride. So yeah. If nothing, come and join me and we'll have a great time and we'll celebrate Pride.
And those of you who haven't seen Brian, you'll get to see him.
And his medal.
You'll get to see him live and in person.
So if you have any questions, go to the website, pridehouston.org.
Mm-hmm. I do want to mention the bleachers.
We've got our
special VIP bleachers. Okay, we got VIP bleachers. So if you want to come and you want to get some open bar, some grandstand seating, just go to pridehouston.org/support/FOP and just be a member of Friends of Pride.
Friends of Pride, you know, it's the best way to watch the parade. I've been selling them left and right. So.
And I appreciate that.
Frankie and Paul, anything else you want our listeners to know?
No, if you just want to volunteer, please go to pridehouston.org/volunteer. We definitely need some fun, and you'll have a lot of fun doing it.
Well, Frankie and Paul, thank you very much, and this is Queer Voices.
All right, thank you for having us.
I'm John Torres.
And I'm Robert LeBlanc.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 11th, 2011. June was busting out all over this week as festivals, parades, and rallies kicked off the traditional month of Pride observances around the world by LGBT people and their allies. EuroPride, which is held in a different European city each year, was held on June 11th in Rome, highlighted by a performance by music megastar Lady Gaga. U.S. Ambassador David Thorne was among those who invited the performer to the festivities, saying that, as previously underscored by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, gay and human rights are one and the same. I am proud that an Italian-American artist is coming to Rome. Hundreds of thousands paraded with pride through the central city in the late afternoon, in advance of the much-anticipated appearance by the singer in the early evening. Organizers said there were close to 1 million people either marching or watching, while police estimated the crowd at about half that number. Rainbow flags abounded, with placards reading, "Different people, same rights," and "Equality and human rights for all." Some 40 floats included rainbow families, with lesbian and gay parents and their children. And of course, there was a gaggle of Gaga impersonators. The lady herself was expected to speak briefly and perform one song, almost certainly her new hit, celebrating diversity, Born This Way. At the parade's conclusion, the Circus Maximus, an ancient Roman arena that in modern times has hosted concerts and other performers.
Vladimir Luxuria, a transgender former member of parliament, told Agence France-Presse that this Euro Pride event would be very political because Italy lags behind most other European nations in protecting its LGBT citizens. There are no hate crime laws, and same-gender couples are not legally recognized. While the influence of the Vatican cannot be underestimated, Pope Benedict XVI has repeatedly condemned same-gender sex as disordered. The politically conservative government of Silvio Berlusconi has resisted any LGBT civil rights advances. The Prime Minister has been embroiled in a number of sex scandals in the past several months, which he dismissed late last year by saying, "It's better to be passionate about beautiful women than to be gay." Activists quickly came up with a slogan printed on placards and t-shirts reading, "It's better to be gay than to be Berlusconi."
Thousands braved sweltering temperatures to hit the streets of Tel Aviv on June 10th as the Israeli beachfront city hosted its annual Pride Parade. Police estimated the crowd at 30,000, while a statement from the Tel Aviv City Council said it was closer to 70,000. Organizers said it was the city's largest Pride event ever, as more than 100,000 Israelis from all over the country marched or watched the parade, capped by a seaside dance party that lasted into the evening hours. According to organizers, about 5,000 out-of-towners joined the festivities, including tourists from the Netherlands, France, Britain, Russia, and the United States. The Tel Aviv Pride theme this year was, "It's good to be gay, marching for social equality." While Israel is by far the most LGBT-welcoming country in the region, activists note that full equality, including marriage rights, are still on their to-do list. Jewish religious groups were more prominent than usual among the numerous parade contingents this year, asserting their right to be both out and devout.
Organizers said that about 10,000 people took part on June 4th in the 7th annual Pride Parade in Athens, which doubled the number of last year's participants. The slogan for this year's festivities was, "Kiss Me Everywhere." It was chosen to ridicule repeated penalties imposed on broadcasters by the non-governmental regulatory Greek National Council of Radio and Television for showing same-gender couples kissing.
About 150 people marched with Pride in Bucharest on the same day. A few dozen right-wing protesters held a rally condemning homosexuality in the Romanian capital a few hours earlier, but there were no confrontations during the Pride March itself. Officials from the Romanian Council Against Discrimination and from Amnesty International joined the march, along with U.S. Ambassador Mark Gitenstein, British Ambassador Martin Harris, and Swedish Ambassador Anders Bengtsson.
While it didn't rain on Winnipeg's annual Pride Parade as forecasters had threatened, chilly temperatures kept usually skimpy outfits to a minimum. On June 5th, as the march kicked off at the Manitoba Legislature, before moving down Broadway to a festival at the Forks. Thousands began the parade by singing along to ABBA tunes performed by the provincial capital's Rainbow Harmony Project Choir. The parade and festival capped off Pride Winnipeg's 10-day observance that began on May 28th.
It did rain in Sacramento on June 4th at that city's annual Pride Parade and Festival, but hundreds stayed dry thanks to the availability of pink umbrellas. A variety of performers entertained thousands at the festival on the Capitol Mall, which also featured a kids zone and food and beverage vendors. The parade and festival are the biggest fundraising event of the year for the California Capital City's Gay and Lesbian Center.
An estimated 30,000 people lined the streets of downtown Salt Lake City on June 5th as the number of Pride Parade entries there, exactly 100, rivaled those in the largest parade held in the state of Utah, the Days of 47. The estimated 30,000 Pride celebrants represented a substantial increase over last year's 20,000. Rainbow flags were everywhere, including one that stretched an entire city block. Salt Lake City native and non-gay ally Roseanne Barr served as the parade's grand marshal. The comic and actress waved to the crowd from the back of a convertible, while a film crew chronicled the event for what will reportedly be an upcoming reality TV show.
The city of Detroit hosted Michigan's annual Pride Parade for the first time in 25 years on June 5th. The Motor City Pride Parade began as a civil rights march in downtown Detroit, but took place thereafter in such cities as Lansing, Royal Oak, and Ferndale. Organizers for this year's two-day festival that began on June 4th said that more than 40,000 people enjoyed live music on four different stages in Detroit's Hart Plaza. There were also drag queen reviews, dancing, booths and exhibitors, and food and beverage vendors. The festival also helped raise money through donations collected at the entrances for the state's major LGBT advocacy group, Equality Michigan.
Police officials said that about 2,000 people marched through downtown Spartanburg, South Carolina on June 4th in the third statewide pride event there in as many years. Mayor Junie White, who signed a proclamation declaring June 4th as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Day in Spartanburg, participated in the march, which ended at a local park for a day-long festival and rally featuring speeches and performances. Several church-based protesters held up signs along the parade route and at the festival entrance and shouted slogans like, "No special rights for sodomites," and "Salvation and sodomy don't mix." But several parade goers blew kisses at the protesters, and some had their own signs reading, "Jesus loves everyone," and "Who would Jesus heckle?"
Organizers of the annual Cedar Rapids Pride Fest said that their annual event on June 4th was noteworthy for the absence of anti-gay protesters, who had been a minor irritation in previous years. Maddie Smith, a regional organizer for the LGBT advocacy group One Iowa, described the festival as more like a giant high school get-together than a political event. Though many festival-goers lamented the removal of three Supreme Court justices in last November's elections, who had voted with the majority in 2009 to establish marriage equality in the state. Some right-wing Republicans continue to voice opposition to the court's decision, but political observers say that there is little chance that the ruling can be legislatively overturned.
Meanwhile, a state lawmaker in Virginia has expressed outrage over the rainbow flag being flown below the American flag outside the offices of the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank during June in honor of Pride Month. Republican Assemblyman Robert G. Marshall wrote a letter to Richmond Fed President Jeffrey Lacker complaining about the decision to honor the request of the bank's LGBT employee group and fly the flag. Marshall's rant was riddled with absurdities and outright falsehoods, including assertions that homosexuality undermines the American economy, shortens lives, adds significantly to illness, increases health costs, promotes venereal diseases, and worsens the population imbalance relating to the number of workers supporting the beneficiaries of America's Social Security and Medicare programs. But the bank refused to capitulate to the homophobic attack. Sally Green, its first vice president and chief operating officer, told reporters that, "We are flying the pride flag as an example of our commitment to the values of acceptance and inclusion."
And finally, the Florida Family Association spent more than $7,000 on June 3rd and 4th to fly a plane towing a banner over Disney World in Orlando, warning visitors that Gay Day was being celebrated at the amusement park. The right-wing group wrote on its website that 30,000 children, along with their unsuspecting parents, will be confronted with the reality of witnessing over 15,000 Gay Pride Day revelers when they enter the Magic Kingdom on June 4th, 2011. Many American families are offended by the public celebration of such immoral and irresponsible behavior. According to its organizers, Gay Day at Disney World is actually a week-long celebration that attracts thousands of visitors who spend an estimated $150 million in the Orlando area every year. There were no reports of families fleeing the theme park in droves as a result of the Florida Family Association's ominous aerial warning. And an anonymous Gay Day participant underscored the economic realities of the situation. Given that tickets for children cost $79 and adult tickets are $87, he noted, it also seems unlikely that people would throw that kind of money away.
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 11th, 2011. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride. Read the text of this week's News Wrap online at thiswayout.org. For This Way Out, I'm John Torres.
And I'm Robert LeBlanc.
This is Queer Voices.
This is Brian Levinka.
And Jennifer Renee.
And first,
Orgullo.
We had the first segment about pride. Now we have Orgullo.
That's right, Orgullo.
Which is Spanish for pride.
Pride.
Who do we have in the studio, Jennifer?
You've got the notes.
Well, we have Christina Martinez. Lonnie Davis and Gabriel Gonzalez.
That's right.
And y'all are with an organization.
Gayo.
What does Gayo stand for?
Gay and Lesbian Latino Organization.
So G-A-L-L-O, which means rooster.
Right.
That's kind of a play on words.
It's kind of a play on words, yes.
I see.
It's gallo in Spanish is rooster, and of course it stands, the acronym stands for Gay and Lesbian Latin Organization.
Okay, so you have a whole sequence of events.
Yes.
Starting, when do they start, actually?
They start this Sunday, actually. They start this Sunday at Meteor with Mr. and Mrs. Gallo.
Uh-huh.
It's an event that's sponsored by Budweiser and Barefoot Wines, and we will be electing our Mr. and Mrs. Gallo.
Okay. And who enters this contest?
Any male or female. For the event that is happening on Sunday, we will be choosing the male identifier or the female identifier. Anybody can enter. And then on Monday, when we choose the Miss Gallo, in that case, we'll be performers.
Okay. But do you have to be Latino or Latina?
No. Anybody that is interested in representing Gallo, we are an organization that, although our name goes as Gay and Lesbian Latino Organization, we are affirming of all of our allies.
Because they won't; those letters won't fit into Gallo.
Correct.
And be like, Guy Tilera.
Right.
And there's no T in there, is there?
No, there's no
T. The T is
silent. But in actuality, we do have a T member, and we have black, Asian, white, and Hispanic members. So we've become a people of color organization.
Now, there's a big event that's coming up. Is that the week of Pride?
Yes, it is. It's called Baile, Noche de Gala, a black tie affair.
Now, tell us about that.
Noche de Gala, it is Gallo's biggest fundraiser of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And people can actually go to our website, HoustonGallo.org, to get more information, of course. But that event raises the funds necessary for us to do the work that we do. Gallo is a social organization that benefits its members, benefits other nonprofits at our Baile event and other events, and also helps the community at large.
And it's focused on the Latino community, or how does it help out the community?
Well, now we want to help more than just the Latino community. Okay. We try to help people that are in need, be it by helping them with food, with clothing, refer them to attorneys, maybe medical services that are cost-effective, that they can afford, or on a sliding scale.
Now, how long has Gallo been around? What's the history of Gallo?
Gallo has been around for 6 years, but last year we took a year off to reorganize and bring it back and change some of the goals of the organization. And one of the biggest changes was benefiting our members. Our members are able to apply for yearly scholarships that the organization gives its members. And it does not necessarily have to be a class at a university. It could be that you, Brian, may want to learn basket weaving.
Auto mechanics.
Or auto mechanics, and we will gladly pay for that.
That's way too much for me.
No. My hands would get dirty. My nails.
Well, for you, we will do floral arrangements.
Thank you. One of the questions I have is that, okay, it's Pride, and this is the Pride event. Is for some reason the traditional Pride organization overlooking the Latino community?
Well, that is the reason why the beginning of Gallo 6 years ago. We feel that while Pride, and we talk about Pride, and I celebrate Pride, there is nothing in the regular Pride that celebrates or makes the Latino community feel inclusive of. I have suggested in the past, by the past I mean 5-6 years ago, to Pride to maybe include one segment where there's some type of Latino entertainment or something for Latino. Our entire week of events starts with the Mr. and Mrs. Gallo at Meteor, but then it continues, well, on Monday at South Beach with the entertainment, Miss Gallo. But then Tuesday we have a get-together for everybody to join us at El Tiempo or 1308 Cantina, and we'll have a trio there. Tuesday will be at Rice University, and Linda Morales will be the speaker there Wednesday. And Linda Morales will be the speaker there Wednesday at Rice University, talking about when she first sued the state of Texas over the sodomy law, and where the Latino GOBT movement is, where we've come from, where we're going, and what we expect to do. Yeah. Thursday is just to get together, and then it all culminates Friday with our baile, which is our yearly Noche de Gala black tie affair, and then we will not participate this year in Pride, but we will next year. We were not prepared this year to be part of Pride as in the parade, but we will next year. We will be there, though, as a group, you know, seeing the parade and celebrating Pride.
So you're there celebrating Pride, not apart from Pride.
Exactly. Because we don't want to be apart from. We want to be a part of.
Exactly.
And so we're hoping that in the future we can incorporate our Latino Orgullo LGBT Week into Pride events also.
Now, where would they get more information?
Well, they could actually go to our website at HoustonGallo.org, and every single thing I have just said to you is listed there. And they have information there on how to become a member, you know, and or how to participate. You don't necessarily have to be a member. You can volunteer, be a committee, volunteer to go to schools, to talk to youths, you know, who are having issues trying to identify whether they're gay or not. We have several aspects in Gallo that we try to reach out into the community. But there is not a single organization that represents Latino community. And while this started like that, we have branched out into the black, into the Asian now. Mm-hmm. And we have quite a few black, Hispanic, Asian, and white members in our organization. As a matter of fact, our VP happens to be a white man who says, okay, well, I'm part of Gallo. I'm people of color.
Now, Lonnie, what do you do for Gallo?
I am the treasurer.
I see, and I'm sure it's more than that.
Well, my major role is getting the word out. You know, like Christina has said, when Gallo first started off, it was because the Hispanic community felt that there were not enough representation out there for them. And we got together and we realized that people will have a tendency to come to you and ask you things if you start to look like them. And so with Gallo, what we're doing now is we've added other people to join our organization, because as you can tell, I'm not Hispanic, but I've been a member of Gallo for the last 6 years.
You're an honorary member, I guess.
Excuse me?
You're an honorary member?
No, I'm
just joking, because you're black. Actually, her grandfather
is Honduras, so.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
She's got Hispanic in the blood.
There you go.
It's a rainbow organization.
It
and that's what needs to be pointed out.
Definitely.
Because we're all brothers and sisters.
Exactly, and that's what matters, you know. While baile is a big event, we also try to help. I know that Lonnie, particularly, is talking to Linda about having some of the Hatch people attend.
Yeah,
she always gives tickets.
I'm sorry. I sit on the board for the Hatch P5 Scholarship Board.
Which we love.
Right. And this year, Rainbow Pages, Christina and I, are giving away 6 tickets to past recipients of the Hatch Scholarship Program, so they can come out and enjoy the festivity, because, you know, they're college kids, they can't afford the tickets.
I know.
You know, when you're in college, it costs you an arm and a leg, so tickets are the last thing in your mind.
Exactly.
And it's going to be fun. We have a live band.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome
we
band.
Have a
awesome
DJ
band.
For when they take a break, but we also have mariachis. For the first time, we're bringing in mariachis, so it's going to be fantastic.
Very good. Now, are you doing anything for the festival itself?
We have talked about being part of the festival, and we were told we still have time, so we are trying to make that decision. For Gallo, we are trying to see, because part of the problem is that we are not, because we took that year off to reorganize, we're not prepared to go full blast. And
right.
We all believe that if we don't do it right, don't do it.
Don't have to.
Oh, absolutely.
So we don't want to have to do it. Instead, we want to prepare for next year to have a beautiful flag. The boys in the organization like to joke and say, with the big cock, with the rainbow feathers.
Bandera.
Showing.
I love
uh-huh.
it. I love
Bandera
it.
De Gallo. So how do you reach out to the Latino and, I guess, the rainbow community? How do you bring people into Gallo?
Well, we are now doing a lot of membership drives at different places, not just the bars. We're taking them out of the bars into restaurants.
That's
we
good.
Recently mm-hmm. held something at Memorial Park where we actually had our gay and lesbian Latino organization banners hanging in 3 different places all over the park. And we actually were surprised to have people stop by there and ask us about the organization.
Yeah.
And wanting to become members. We're also reaching out to RISE through Brian, mm-hmm. And to U of H and to different schools about Gallo, working with Gallo, and how we can partner to help them and let them know that we have a people of color organization that while it started as a Latino organization, now it's the rainbow of colors.
Now, I want to ask Gabriel a question because I like his voice. So, what is your role in Gallo? What do you do?
Currently, I'm the president of the organization.
You're the president. Okay.
Yes.
And how many people are in Gallo?
The organization grows every day.
Okay.
Currently, we have a following of about 500 people.
500?
Yes. And so those are the people that gather all the information on a daily basis. They get informed about what Gallo is accomplishing on a daily basis. We're making a lot of connections and liaisons and finding a lot of partnerships with other organizations in the community. One of the organizations that we're very glad to say that we have as a partner is the Latino HIV Task Force, which will be is a partnership that I'm very excited about because it's going to allow both organizations to grow strongly and with a structure that will bring a lot of amazing things to the community.
Now, there doesn't seem to be a lot of Latino organizations like community organizations. It seems like Gallo is kind of the only game in town.
And that's true. There are not a lot of organizations in town. That's part of what Gallo is aiming to do, is to find those niches where there is a need and help all those organizations that are doing the work develop their work so that they can include Latinos and people of color.
Another thing that we do, Brian, is we are trying to teach a new generation how to be leaders and mm-hmm. how to form mm-hmm. organizations to serve people of color, be it Latino, be it Asian, be it whatever. Our group is blessed with having such a mix of age. The ranges is, we have one that's 18 and we have one that's 62. So, you know, it's a huge range of ages. And we are focusing on the youth and the young and trying to teach them and train them and learn from us and mentor them and mentor other very young organizations.
Like empowering them to be their own leaders. Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is that it's not only a matter of age. There is also a very varied skill set within the organization. We have board members in the organizations who've been doing national work for the last 10 years, for the last 5 years. And then we have some members that are starting who are getting that mentorship.
Right.
So that as the organization continues to grow and as the work across the city continues to develop, people are getting ready and gearing up to doing what is needed.
What are some of the challenges facing the Latino community that you see? Either one of you.
Lack of services a lot of times.
Okay.
Lack of recognition. I mean, and I understand that is... that can be said of many communities. So we just picked our piece of the pie.
Right, lack of inclusion also, you know. When I tell you we have tried, or I have tried in the past, not recently, so let me not lie to you, to approach Pride about inclusion, you know, it's not happened in the past. But it is important, you know, services, assistance, guidance. Our needs may not necessarily be the needs of the gay and lesbian person in general, mm-hmm. but our focus is the person of color.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes white people too, because there's a color, white is color.
Right, right.
But you know, you may not know it, but sitting here, we have a lot of history. Mm-hmm. Gabriela is president of Gallo, me as founder of Gallo, but not counting Gallo, Gabriela and I both served. I was female chair and he was treasurer of Unidos. Unidos is the national LGBT human rights organization. It's the equivalent of HRC, mm-hmm. but for Latinos, and it serves the entire country plus Puerto Rico, correct?
Right, that's correct.
So we have a lot of years of national experience in national boards and stuff like that, so we know what we're doing and we want to mentor others.
Now, is it a Houston thing about the recognition in the community, in the gay community, or is it a national thing?
No, I think it's a national thing.
Uh-huh.
Because I see it everywhere. You know, I have directories in many parts of this country, and I see how the Latino community is not represented, and while some people talk about it, very few are willing to take the step forward to start something. Everybody wants to participate, but very few want to be the ones to create it and get it off the ground.
Create and start something.
You know, one of the statistics that was very alarming to me is that when you look at the national world, a lot of people say that Houston has the largest LGBT community in the nation. Not New York, not San Francisco, but Houston.
That's crazy.
And so to think about that, and then you have an a community that is very much Latino-based, and there's only Gallo. So, you know, and so that's kind of...
The people are out there. They're not being served by an organization. I guess what we're saying...
They're not being served by an organization.
Which is a huge... Ball
this,
drop.
This is the primary reason for Gallo.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things, though, that they didn't mention was that right now we are going to be mentoring other organizations and helping them to get their certifications up and running. As Gabrielle said, there are some organizations out there that are doing good work, but they're just not recognized, maybe because they have not got their nonprofit
the
status 501c3, or whatever. Right.
Yeah, right.
So we have experienced people on our board that have processed this paperwork without any problem, and we're here to help other organizations to get their certification, get them up running correctly.
Well, you've got a microphone, you've got a forum right here. What are the challenges to the GLBT Latino out there? I know there's religious problems and all, but that's got to be a great challenge. Would someone like to address that? Because I know for me, my experience has been, other than Christina and I and our friendship, is that where are they? They're invisible. Whereas many other communities are out there and out front, it seems that there's a problem. What are the challenges and how can we help?
A lot of the Latinos are not out at work. A lot of them are not out with their families. Or they face the consequences if they even try to come out. You know, especially our Latino youth. If they even try to come out, you can expect them to be homeless in a New Year's second. And I speak from personal experience. So... to reach them, you either have to know where they go, where they hang, because it's not easy to reach them.
Right,
trust me.
Right.
I'm part of the Latino community, and I know it's not easy to reach them.
¿Dónde está?
¿Dónde está?
Right.
But we are working hard in getting them to become more active. We are surprised at the response Gallo has received after taking this year off to change and to... firm down actually how the organization is going to help the Latino community and people of color to come out and get more active, because more and more we're seeing a big gap between us, not you, Gabriel, but us older folks, you know, and the youth becoming active. So there's a big space right there, and we need to empower them and help them and lead them and mentor them into these roles.
So this is a call to arms for you listeners out there, that if you're an organization and you need help and you serve the Latino community, there's a huge gap and niche that needs to be filled. And we have the experience here. Christina is an all-star in the community. She's the person I would go to if I were trying to start a community. Lonnie as well, and Gabrielle. These people have national experience, and this is a resource that we have in our community to expand our community and get new organization, new blood. You know, our community is constantly evolving. If we don't evolve, then we
It takes we die. Courage to step up. So right. Step up. You know, Gabriel moved here from Omaha about a year ago.
Omaha.
So he doesn't know anybody.
That's
and
where
he stepped up, and he's the president of our organization.
That's where my partner's from.
See?
Oh. So small.
Small world.
El mundo pequeño.
El mundo pequeño.
Okay, so we have a few minutes left. Let's kind of go back over the Pride events, Orgullo Pride events coming up.
So Orgullo Week starts on Sunday the 19th, and we will be at Meteor celebrating or crowning Mr. and Mrs. Gallo, which, as I mentioned before, is male-identified and female-self-identified.
Sponsored
by Budweiser and
Importante.
Barefoot.
Importante, because they're going to be there buying beer for the attendees.
Yeah, oh.
Yeah.
Bueno.
So it's free beer.
Yeah, there you go.
Free beer. Monday, we will move to South Beach, and we will be, at that point, crowning the, drag queen, Mrs. Gallo. Tuesday will be at El Tiempo. We'll be doing a wine tasting and kind of spending time and getting to know each other a little better. Wednesday will be at Rice University with Linda Morales talking about her experience fighting or challenging the sodomy laws of Texas as the first female lesbian activist in the Texas area. Thursday we'll be at CATS, just again spending some time. And Friday I want to see everybody at Baile. It is a great event. We have Aviso, which is a two-time Grammy awarded band. We'll have the Mariachi Tradición y Origen, and we'll have the DJs to play all kind of musics.
And you can get tickets and information on the website.
Houston, what's the website again?
Houston Gallo. That's Houston, G-A-L-L .org.
And
G-A-L-L?
Oh.
Oh, I didn't hear.
G-A-L-L-O.org. Houston Gallo.org.
Or for the Texans, Gallo.
Gallo, yeah, like Gallo wine.
Well, Christina, Lonnie, and Gabrielle, thank you very much.
Thank you both for having us.
Absolutely.
Check out the Pride Aguayo events, and you're listening to Queer Voices. Thank you.
Our Spring 2011 membership drive has just ended, and we want to thank you for your support of listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio. Your pledges really do make a difference for your station and your community. If you opted to pay via check, you will be receiving your envelope in the mail soon. Please, don't forget to pay your pledge. We depend on your pledges to stay on the air, and we determine when the next pledge drive happens based on pledge fulfillment. If you want to support KPFT, there is still time to do it. Visit kpft.org to make a pledge securely online for all the great music, news, and more. That's kpft.org to pledge online. If you love KPFT, here's your chance to ensure the station you love has what it needs to continue bringing you great programming. This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
Widely seen as the channel of reference for coverage of the Middle East and Global South, Al Jazeera English can now be heard on 90.1 KPFT. Al Jazeera English has become a world leader in the coverage of Africa, Asia, the Middle East, Europe, and the Americas. You can hear Al Jazeera English weekdays from 5 to 6 a.m. on KPFT FM and HD1, or at 9 a.m. weekdays on KPFT HD2. Al Jazeera English has received many awards for its reporting. With a staff of more than 1,000 from 50 different countries, the aim of Al Jazeera English is to provide independent and impartial news for an international audience. Again, you can hear Al Jazeera English weekdays from 5 to 6 a.m. on KPFT and HD1, or at 9 a.m. weekdays on KPFT HD2. Visit kpft.org for a complete program schedule. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.
That's right. Saturday night is all right once again. After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude is coming home to Saturday night / Sunday morning, 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. So don't forget that starting April 22nd, you can find the entire After Hours crew back home on Saturday nights. It's all right. This is KPFT Houston.
Our Spring 2011 membership drive has just ended, and we want to thank you for your support of listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio. Your pledges really do make a difference for your station and your community. If you opted to pay via check, you will be receiving your envelope in the mail soon. Please, don't forget to pay your pledge. We depend on your pledges to stay on the air, and we determine when the next pledge drive happens based on pledge fulfillment. If you want to support KPFT, there is still time to do it. Visit kpft.org to make a pledge securely online for all the great music, news, and more. That's kpft.org to pledge online. If you love KPFT, here's your chance to ensure the station you love has what it needs to continue bringing you great programming. This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM.
You've heard a kid.
KPFT Pledge Drive before, you've probably heard this line a thousand times.
Our volunteers are here to take your call.
But volunteering at KPFT is more than pledge drives. It's the folks who help pack your thank you gifts.
Or the people who spend a Saturday painting walls or helping at a booth or even distributing KPFT flyers around town.
You may hear a lot about volunteers during our pledge drives, but helping out at KPFT is an around-the-clock endeavor.
Why wait for a pledge drive when you can volunteer today?
Call 713-526-4000 to learn more about volunteering at KPFT or visit kpft.org to download a volunteer application to indicate your interest.
Talk with one of our great staffers to find out how you can help.
Again, that's 713-526-4000 to learn more about volunteering at KPFT.
Or visit kpft.org to download a volunteer application to indicate your interest.
This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.
KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Hey! Sing if you're glad to be gay. Sing if you're happy. This way.
Well, June is Pride Month. And one of the important things about Pride Month is to look back at the history of how we all got here. And one of the great organizations in this community is GCAM, which is a Gulf Coast Archival and Museum organization. And certainly, how long has GCAM been around?
We started in 1999.
Okay. Craig Farrell is with us, and you're the president?
I'm the chairman of the board.
Chairman of the board, okay. That was, and you weren't around from the beginning, but you sort of inherited what was going on.
Right. I'm a native Houstonian, so Judy and Jimmy, who people tend to think of with GCAM.
And Rainbow and Brandon,
right.
and Bruce.
And Bruce.
Bruce Reeves.
Of course.
Okay.
And Ray Hill. Judy and I have been friends for a long time, and 3 years ago, Judy asked me to get a little bit more involved and come on board.
Boy, she didn't see that coming, did you? And Judy was supposed to be with us tonight because I sort of wanted to corner her about something we're going to talk a little bit later, but we'll make up for it.
I have a feeling she's listening.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. Well, let's be honest. Judy's sometimes a little bit tough, but that's why the organization kept on going, right?
Absolutely. It's her passion and it's her baby. She, from the very, the onset has been the backbone of the organization. So,
did you think that this was an interesting organization to get involved in? How did you sort of get sucked into it?
Well, I'm not sure sucked into it's the right words, Jack. But I had been volunteering with some of the other organizations, some of the court systems around town, and had met Judy. And so we became friends, and she would ask me to come to a couple of fundraisers for GCAM, and so I did. And as I got to hear the story more, I really found that in my heart, I'd always believed that we're losing our history in this community. Because having grown up here my whole life and having gone through the AIDS crisis, it's just we're just one generation away from the history being gone.
Exactly.
And so Judy asked me to get involved, and she got the passion lit in my heart, and that's how it sort of all started.
Okay. And so what did you, the fact that we could very easily lose this, and the fact that a lot of stuff was just sort of being put in, and this is no criticism. There was such a volume, my understanding, of stuff. Some of the stuff was just being thrown in boxes and put it away because there wasn't time to do that. But at the same time, you wanted to grab the stuff and be able to have it.
Right. When they very first started taking items in, it was being very systematically cataloged and labeled and boxed before it was put into, any type of storage. And then we started receiving things faster than we possibly could, because as individuals in our community passed away, their families didn't know what to do with the stuff. And so we literally would get 10 and 15 boxes of things, and that ranged everything from personal photographs to love letters to, things that were important in their lives. And so we began to just literally put it into storage so that we could one day go back through it. And a lot of it is still in that state. We've not had the chance and the opportunity to go back through it. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. So the big things, like town hall meeting one or those kind of things, tend to stick out more.
Right.
And you focus more on those, but there's a ton of individual history.
Well, and anybody who listens to, like, NPR, and they do the StoryCorps thing, where it's basically somebody just sits in a studio and sort of tells their story in a couple of minutes of their life, or This American Life, which is another great program.
Right.
Just telling the stories of sometimes ordinary people really does reveal a lot of stuff that may be missed about the way, and believe me, I'm not a historian, and actually I sort of wanted to ask you about that. Was anybody in the organization, was it just that that everybody had a passion to do this, or did somebody have expertise on how to do this?
Well, the original 13 people, as I understand it, that got together had the passion, and that's where the whole idea came from. You know, we had a Museum of Fine Arts. We have a children's museum.
We have some of the best museums in the world here in Houston, which is great.
Absolutely, but we don't have a GLBT focus at all in the museums, and so that was where the passion started. We're all volunteers, as you know, so there's no real expert. We all have to learn as we go along and seek out the help that we need.
And it's my understanding that you all were able to get some volunteers from universities who had some of the expertise or were learning how to get the expertise and start to catalog this stuff.
Right.
Is that correct?
That's correct. Some of those from Rice and from University of Houston, even the University of Texas. But they have to volunteer too, so it has to fit into their schedule.
Right.
But when you've got people that are have a career in this field, it definitely helps because they can guide you. You know, I started learning words like metadata. I didn't have a clue what metadata was. I don't think I still do, but they really guide you and help you understand what you need to be doing to really preserve this history because it's there. It's just a matter of organizing it.
Well, there's something else that I learned when they were doing the oral history of me was that, okay, somebody may have a photo and on the back may write the date on it. They may write the wrong date on it because
right.
their memory, you know, and what your memory says isn't really necessarily what happened.
Right. And they also may write birthday party, but that doesn't mean it was your birthday party. It might mean it was a birthday party that they got the photo from.
Right.
So
right.
The information, the recording of the information is just crucial. I mean, it's absolutely crucial to preserve our history.
That's fabulous. So what type of volume of stuff do you have? Do you have any idea?
I couldn't tell you what it is in linear feet, but I can tell you that it is currently 9 storage units that are packed from floor to ceiling.
Wow.
I mean, and it keeps growing. When I started, we were at 7 storage units, so now we're 2 ahead of that. And each time we get another box of stuff, you know, we make a place in storage for it. One of the things that we're focusing on is providing a way to get all of the material off of the ground, because in some of those storage units, even though they're climate controlled, there are several boxes that are literally sitting on concrete.
Yeah.
And so that's one of our next focuses, is to get the stuff off the ground so that we can make it a little bit more safe, because as you know, in Houston, we could have a flood and suddenly...
Right, right. So not only having this stuff stored, but then occasionally showing it at events. I mean, I remember a few years ago, well, the photos that Dalton takes,
right.
that he donated to the, you know, there's just tons. Of course, he's crazy with all the photos he takes, but there's just tons and tons of that stuff. And those are events that happen all over the community,
right.
which are history.
And events that no longer take place. You
yes.
know, the garden party pictures.
Yes, Miss Camp America.
Miss Camp America.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And which were Houston particular events. Now, do you basically focus on stuff that happens in the Houston area?
Well, we say that we focus on the Gulf Coast. It's easiest for us to focus on Houston because that's where we are. But we do, you know, actively try to keep things from anywhere in the Gulf Coast. That said, if we were to get something that, you know, had a better home in, say, San Francisco or a better home in New York, we would make an effort to get a hold of those people and say, this belongs in your museum, because what may be historic to them is not necessarily historical to us. And
right.
it might have a better home and a better audience in their museum.
Sure, sure. Now, we talked about being able to show some of these things. Now, at the Pride Festival, which has been for a number of years, it must be 5-6 years now,
right.
something like that, they do a history tent.
Yes.
And your organization, along with the organization, the Botts Collection, I guess, work together
mm-hmm.
To be able to put out some of the items that people can could just walk through and see what they're all about, and have somebody from your organization, if there's any questions, to be able to ask questions.
Right. The focus of the History Tent is not really to display such a great collection of things, but more of an introduction.
A sample.
A sample to what is there. And you're right, BOTS is there, and there's several other organizations that are in the tent. And we try to just make a door that's able to open into what each of the archives have, or who to contact if you have something that you want to donate to the archives.
Do you think the younger people sort of understand this or respect it or receive it in a way?
You know, I really think this generation doesn't have the passion for what our community's been through. And that's one of the things that most bothers me, is they weren't there to see some of the tragic things happen in our community. So the sense of urgency is not there for them. I mean, face it, today, young people think AIDS is a disease you live with just like you live with diabetes, where to myself, it was a death sentence. You know, there was no other choice. So I think that this current generation probably doesn't have the love and the passion for history in the gay community that I'd like to see. And that's one of our things, is to help get that word out there and to show them. We've just recently, we have an event coming up this weekend.
And we'll talk about that shortly, but I want to talk a little bit about Mary's.
Okay.
Tell me Mary's was this bar that was around for a long time, one of the earliest bars in the community, and it wasn't right in Montrose, right on Westheimer, you know, which was a main thoroughfare just off of Montrose. And it closed a few years ago, and I think Judy would want to break in, if she was able to do it, to grab some of the history there, and the fact that Mary's was a really interesting bar in so many ways. And I know from working with them from a couple of years of actually broadcasting the parade on top of Mary's here on KPFT, to the fact that they used to do the annual Christmas tree. And sometimes I thought the damn thing would short out with the rain. The fact that Pride was able to, along with some other organizations, when the Westheimer Street Festival used to be in Montrose, that they would give away those spots to nonprofit organizations where they could have sold it. The year, and I'm sorry I'm going off on this, but some of this is really, really interesting. The year that they moved the Westheimer Street Festival out of Montrose, there was a sort of a thing that just arose to be a street festival, and Mary's had opened their doors, and the cops were about to shut Mary's down that day. They come in there, and you know, you always think of Mary's as being totally disorganized. Well, the cops come in there, and who's standing there in Mary's but their lawyer with their sound permit and all the permits they needed to do what they were supposed
right.
to do, and the cops sort of walked out with their tails behind their, you know. And it was just, I just loved that, because Mary's was like that. Sometimes they weren't totally politically correct, but they always believed in the community.
Right.
So that's a history that's really important to us. So, Mary's closed. GCAM try to do what they can to...
Well, we had been in... Judy, our curator, had been in contact with the original owners of the property once Mary's did close. And she was keeping the lines open, the communication open, so that we could get the things that are historical out of the bar if they would allow us in. And then the bar, of course, the property was sold. And I got in contact with the new owners, and here's been the question for everybody. What happened to the bar tops? What happened to the bar tops? Well, we got them as of Saturday. We have them in safekeeping. We are going to have someone come in tomorrow and look at them and try to get a repair going so that we can get them back where the community can see them again. There's a lot of emotional attachment to the pictures that were on those bar tops. There's a lot of people that are actually still alive that are pictures are on those bar tops. But Mary's was that place where leather, drag queens, and the normal, you know, person walking around the community could feel at home. It was a common ground, a meeting spot that you could really, no matter who you were, you could fit in. And I think that was the real passion that everyone had when they saw Mary's close, is that we were losing that focal point of our community.
And there's one other quick story. The day that the Klan decided to march in Montrose, where most of the community leaders try to get all the businesses to close so that we would just all disappear, and even though we got criticized by the East Coast press of doing this, so that we wouldn't provoke them, that they would not come back again. Well, Mary's decided to stay open. And on there, that's the other feature about the Mary's. They had the big window out front that they would paint every week with something different. And that day they painted Send in the Clowns. And Mary's was playing Springtime for Hitler before the parade, before they started. And Don't Rain on My Parade. And they basically said, as soon as they start marching, we're going to lock the door. So you can stay in or go out. But it was just typical Mary's doing something crazy.
Absolutely.
But that meant something.
Yeah.
So, well, that's fabulous that you were able to get those bars with their pictures and everything in there, right?
Right. Hundreds.
Wow.
And we have the bar tops from the inside and the outside bars, both have been able to be salvaged. When the crews came in and took them apart before we got there, there's a little bit of deterioration that happened that way, but I would say a good 90-95% of the bar top can be restored.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
That is a great find for the history of our community. And it was really interesting. I was at a super neighborhood meeting here in Montrose/Neartown, and there was even a straight person who said, we've got to save Mary's because it's history. And
right.
I thought, wow, that's really neat.
Well, the new owner of the property, he doesn't have the full plan together yet, but what he says he would like to do is the building that we think of as the bar of Mary's, the concrete building, he wants to keep that building there and keep it as it is, the structure, and put it historically, or keep it historically in the community so that it can be that spot where we can remember. And I believe he's sincere to that. I think he will. He seems like a very nice man and wants to help with anything he can to keep the community vibrant.
Right, great. So you have a fundraiser coming up.
We do. This weekend at the Mixed Emotions Fine Art Gallery, which is directly across the street from Meteor. It's at 95 Tuam. There's an artist by the name of Daniel Houston, and the show is Eros, Men, and Abstracts. And his artwork is absolutely incredible. He's able to grab the passion and put it on the canvas, but yet you're not looking at pornography. And to me, there's a big difference between pornography and art. And he truly is an artist, and his work is just phenomenal. And we're going to have wine and beer, hors d'oeuvres. It's complimentary valet parking, which is huge, because that way you don't have to worry with trying to find a parking place throughout the neighborhood.
Well, I could walk there.
You could walk there. And it's open to the public. And 20% of all the art sales that he's donating back to us, so that will be great. And we're going to accept MasterCard, Visa, Discover, major credit cards. So,
and what time is this event?
It starts at 6 o'clock and it goes to 9.
Okay, and that's at and I say you see it, you say it's in Midtown. It's still really part of Montrose.
It's absolutely still part of Montrose.
But it's on the border there. What's the address again?
95 Tuam.
Great. And
directly across the street from Meteor.
Right. So you're going to be doing that Saturday. And then the following Saturday? We're getting that close again. Is Pride?
Yes.
And the festival, I believe, goes from like 1 to 6 or 1 to 7.
Right.
And you'll have stuff at the History Tent. The festival is free.
Right.
Your event is free.
Yes.
You're hoping people will buy some art so that they can support you. It takes money to do what you all do, right? I mean, you're all volunteers.
We're all volunteers. It does take money to do what we do. We've been very, very fortunate that this year we've been able to have enough fundraisers that, you know, the rent every month is paid and the storage is paid every month. But we basically live paycheck to paycheck with the organization. There's just not a surplus of funds. And with the economy doing what it's done this year, I think all of the volunteer groups like us are, you know, competing for the same dollar. So
yes, in this economy. And how do you work with ARCH, the archival organization?
We are one of the core members of the group that were available to the public through the website. It's pbworkshoustonarch.com, and we use that as a medium, sort of like a portal into all of the organizations that are involved in the GLBT community, whether it be us or BOTS or the Transgender Museum or Rice University and so on.
Great, great. Craig Farrell is the chair of the board of GCAM, which is a Gulf Coast Archival Museum, and they do some really wonderful work of preserving the history of the GLBT community here in Houston. And what's your website?
gcam.org.
Okay. Craig, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jack.
You're listening to Queer Voices.
Gonna love or gonna hate, it's just the way, it's just the way you live your life. Behind the wall, you live your life afraid to fall, afraid to fall. I should have unleashed myself from you the minute that I stopped getting through. I should have. Makes you sweat, it's your way, it's your way. The past is hard to leave behind when you're the one that robbed love blind and I'm the one.
Provided by J.D. Doyle. That was Jeff Altergott. The name of the song is Unleashed, and that was released on a single this year. This is Queer Voices.
August 6th is going to be the governor's prayer rally, and he's bringing it to Houston, which I find interesting.
Why prayer for the nation.
And why is he bringing it to Houston? I want to know.
Probably because we have a bigger facility. Well, there's that billion-dollar facility in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm surprised he didn't bring it there.
Exactly.
Could it be that we have a lesbian mayor?
Well, and I mean, this
surely not, General.
This was a story in the Advocate today. The event has been under fire for being hosted by an active anti-gay group for generally excluding anyone who isn't Christian. This is
only the Christians they approve of.
Right. And this is a person who may be running for president that he basically wants to exclude a good segment of the population, and especially start picking on the GLBT community again, like it was done before. And boy, it's certainly given Texas a bad name. And it'd be interesting if he becomes governor and then Texas succeeds from the union, how that will work
Can
out.
You be president of the United States if you secede from the union? I wonder.
There's
he become president, and then we decide that we don't want to be part of a nation with him as president.
I'm sure,
sort of like he felt about Obama.
I'm sure if you listen to KPFT, there will be a number of different programmers who will be talking about the counter events that are going to be happening that day. And I know there's a number of different ones that are organizing. It'd be nice if we could all work together and come up with one event, but I think there's going to be so much going on that there's just going to probably be a ton of different things.
I think there's just going to be a lot of angry people outside.
Yes, unfortunately, with signs. It's probably going to be 115 degrees out there in the summer. And maybe even some of the national shows may come down here and cover this event.
It's going to be inside Reliance Stadium, is it not?
That's where the rally is, yes.
Right, but to have a protest, you're like two or three blocks away.
Which means you're out in the sun and...
Well, if we were smart, we would get the Reliance Center inside.
Well, that's true. That costs money, and we don't have an underwriter like...
the American Family Association.
Yes.
Let's call them out for who they are.
And they have been noted by a number of organizations as a hate group.
Well, listeners, if you don't know who they are, go research them, and you'll find out some crazy, crazy things.
Yesterday was the 65th Annual Tony Awards. And it was really interesting, the song that opened up the show.
Oh, was it ever? I didn't know whether I felt nervous about it. Oh, my God, how is it? Because right at first, the audience didn't seem to leap to acceptance.
It's kind of a little inside joke. The song was, the Tonys are not just for the gays anymore.
That's right.
And, you know, Neil Patrick Harris is openly gay. So it's kind of a wink-wink to the audience, you know, ha-ha. You know, I'm a gay, I'm singing this song. But the song was funny, and I thought it was a great opening.
Well, I thought it was interesting, and even though we all know that the Tony Awards has a lot to do with gay people being involved in theater, the reality is this is a national broadcast,
right,
and that it's going out there, and the way the song goes, it was just fabulous. I thought it was really telling of... I guess CBS, and actually the ratings were up a little bit from the preliminary ratings, and that was opposite a... basketball game that was the final game.
The final championship,
yes.
Game, well, NBA championship.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Well, I was watching the Tony Awards.
Me too.
So there were some interesting winners. The Normal Heart won a number of awards.
I was very pleased to see that.
Best revival of a play.
And Larry Kramer got up there. And
what was he wearing?
I don't know what he was wearing.
It was crazy. I'm like, Larry, you're on national TV here.
Well, but Frances McDormand even wore something. It was like she basically was wearing a jeans jacket, and she's a fabulous actress.
Are you going to the PTA there?
Well, she says the previous time I was in that theater was when Greg Allman performed from the Allman Brothers.
Yes.
But it was great, and of course the big winner of the night was...
The Book of Mormon, which I had the pleasure of seeing
on Broadway
the Memorial Weekend, and it's incredible. It's very edgy, and you know, it's kind of in the South Park flair flavor,
but it's not necessarily anti-Mormon.
It's not, but it kind of it exposes the Mormon beliefs in kind of a comical way, in song,
humorous,
and it's things they believe. And it's, you know, it's the song that he sang on the telecast was I Believe.
And it's one of the few songs they actually could put on national TV.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cussing. And that's kind of the controversial part of the show, because you go to Broadway and you don't expect to hear all this cussing. But,
right.
You know, at South Park, you kind of go with it. And
I guess the Mormons won't be there on August 6th either, will they?
Probably not. But, you know, I had kind of medium expectations because I saw two plays in New York. I saw that one in Priscilla, and I thought Priscilla would be the better play, but it was actually the Book of Mormon, just for the content and the story.
But Priscilla was good.
Priscilla is the gayest thing you will ever see on stage. I mean, if you saw the number with all the different costumes, multiply that times 10, and that's how many, like, costumes are in the show. One of the lead actors was quoted as he's got like 20 costume changes for the show, and they're all fabulous costumes.
And so. Well, Martha Wash was also there.
Oh my God, that was gay epiphany. It's like gay Jesus coming down from the sky. It was awesome.
Well, it's Raining Men is her theme song, and that was incorporated. Is that in the show?
That's in the show. Every gay anthem that you can imagine from the movie is in the show, and there's some Madonna. I mean, you will be so gay after you see the show. I mean, you have to de-gay
yourself. Talking about which one?
Priscilla.
Okay.
There are so many like gay anthems. It's a pride parade the whole show. And you'll have to go and like watch NASCAR to de-gay yourself.
I can't imagine that show going on the road across America.
You know,
not across the South, probably.
It started in Australia, where the movie was started or filmed, and then it went to London, and they changed the music to fit kind of the London audience, and then they changed the music again to the American audience.
Really?
And so now it's the Madonna version, whereas in Australia it was like the Kylie Minogue version. And they had different music for each different play.
Well, and that was based on a movie that was a rather low-budget movie.
Absolutely. With Terrence Stamp as Priscilla.
Right, and it follows the movie, but it has a couple... Like, in the play, there's an actual bus, and you kind of see it on stage, but there's a bus that rotates and has, like, these pink lights on it, and it lights up. It's like its own character in the play. And the people jump out of it, and the divas come from the sky, and you have the rainbow cowboys, and just all these fabulous costumes.
And it's opening in Houston when?
I don't know, but one point to note is it did win the Tony for Best Costume Design last night.
Well, I'm sure it did.
And we were cheering for that because we thought that they would win that. But
well, and what's really, you know, even if you're not GLBT, there's nothing like real theater. And whether it's
musicals,
musicals are great too, but theater too is fabulous. Actually see live actors going about, and it's got to be an incredibly tough job to do when you do it 8 times a week.
It's hard. I think it's hard to keep it fresh, but
yes.
It's organic. It's happening in front of you, and it's live. You know, so anything could go wrong, and it's kind of fun to see when that happens, because to see how they react and to find
how
out
professional they are when
how they react to something that happens, and stuff happens all the time.
When I was much much younger and first started going to New York to see plays, and I saw grandparents take their kids to some of these plays, I thought how lucky these kids are to be able to experience it when they're young. And there's nothing like New York theater, whether it's on Broadway, off Broadway, the things that go on. But we do have good theater here in Houston.
We have great theater here. New York is like the Super Bowl, or I guess the World Series of theater. I mean, that's where the best of the best go. But we have great theater. Well, we're very blessed to have theater that we do in Houston.
We are. We have the Broadway series, mm-hmm. as well as Theater Under the Stars, Tuts, and at the Hobby Center. We have wonderful grand theater here.
And we get the national productions of the major Broadway things.
Absolutely. But we also have local theater, which is superior to most other cities. We're so blessed with having so many talented actors and actresses around the city who perform nightly somewhere in the city.
And if you live in Houston and don't partake of our wonderful arts and culture scene and our wonderful theater scene, you are missing out.
Well, the sad part is that many Houstonians aren't really... are aware of what we do have.
Absolutely.
The wonderful...
You're not feeding that part of your brain.
There is a great website called artshound.org, I believe. There's a .com. I don't remember which one it is, but it is a wonderful website that has a complete listing of theater, of all types of performing arts that's going on in the community. And there really is some good stuff to see. Some of these small theaters that don't have a lot of seats, but that's where you get to actually see stuff close up. And it's really wonderful. And you really ought to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I try to take as much advantage of it as I can. And, I go to New York to see theater, but I miss things. Like, I didn't get to see Daniel Radcliffe. He's in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And I think that would be awesome to see him sing and dance, because in the show, he was just killing it.
Yes, yes, and I've loved that show from, the I never saw it live, but the movie version of it, Robert Morse, who's, made his career out of that and was on stage last night. But it's just a wonderful, and the song that they sang about the humanity of man, is that something like that? That's just fabulous, a great, after he cons his way all the way up the corporate ladder, then he's asking for humanity. Great, great show that was done in the 60s.
And I would love to see The Normal Heart on Broadway.
I saw it here at Stages.
I would love to see, I haven't seen it, so the full thing. I've seen parts, like the head parts of it. But, it's a huge history of AIDS and HIV in our community.
Well, it's not like you can see it on reruns anymore.
No.
And that's the beauty of live stage plays and musicals. It's the place to be.
Absolutely. So, go ahead.
This is the month to be out there in the community. Outsmart has done again. They work really hard, mostly on their own, to try to find all the events that's going on during Pride, because Pride no longer really coordinates that anymore. So Outsmart does that. Their magazine, and you can go online, outsmartmagazine.com, has a complete listing of everything that they know that's going on Pride. A lot of them are BART events, but there are some community events that are going
on. It's pretty comprehensive. I think if something's going on, it's in the
And you should be able to pick it up almost anywhere on the stands. It's free, so pick one up and be part of Pride this month.
Yes, and I especially like it.
So, we have a segment that's J.D. Doyle's is done.
Organizers declared "We Are a Million People" as pop megastar Lady Gaga took to the EuroPride 2011 stage on June 11th at Rome's Circus Maximus. Along with a mini set of her songs, including the anthemic Born This Way, the icon activist honored her Italian roots, murdered gay fashion designer Gianni Versace, and the many courageous champions of the international struggle for LGBT liberation.
When I first embarked on my artistic and musical journey as a young Italian-American woman, born of a full second-generation Italian family, Stefania Joanna Angelina Germanotta. I did not know yet the passion and the fervor for equality and social justice that would grow so deeply inside of me. As I become closer to each and every one of you through music, dance, art, and fashion, the celebration of our individuality, it has become clear to me that my greater mission is to be part of the joyous mobilization of the LGBT community worldwide. Today and every day, we fight for freedom. We fight for justice. We beckon for compassion, understanding, and above all, we want full equality. Now! I am angry, like many of you are here today. But shall we transform this Italian square into an electric chapel? Let's exercise our anger and baptize our pain and stand here strong. Today, let us proclaim the defense of love. For some governments, gay rights are not a political or social priority, and the principles of non-discrimination are ambiguous. In my own country, the transparency of democracy, similarly, has become crowded and confused by political procedure. I find myself Googling and switching from channel to channel, radio to print, just to reveal an iota of political truth in relation to social justice. I, like you, I want to see the argument. I want to be privy to the conversation. In democracy, I am told I have a voice in this discourse. But although Americans may celebrate gay pride and peacefully protest, we are shaded by politics and hidden from legislative process as they beg to enforce change. Now, let's talk about EuroPride. So everyone, put your paws up for Europe. This is not just about a party. It is not just a peaceful demonstration. It is a spirit of a basic human right. We are here today to defend love. I want to say thank you to all of the beautiful people assembled here today. Ciao Roma! I awoke today in my hotel overlooking the square in my luscious Italian silk sheets. I was naked. And very suddenly I began to hear mashups of Paparazzi and Judas and Born This Way. Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing my music to be a part of your joyous day. I am so honored to be here. To all the organizers of the EuroPride, leaders of the FRA who fight every day for the LGBT citizens around the European Union, the LGBT citizens in the European Union, we all need you. Thank you, and bravo to the mayor of Rome, Gianni Alamano. We thank you for coordinating this event that we may all peaceably come here and celebrate together. I am honored to be here. And additionally, I would like to say a warm thank you to Donatella Versace. Today, she made all my gay Italian dreams come true. Today, I wear only archive from the last collection of Gianni Versace. I look into the crowd, and there is a plethora of European citizens aligned, knowing firsthand that some of your governments still block the basic freedom of assembly. Celebrations such as these in so many countries are still illegal. As I've traveled the world, meeting and kissing and touching and celebrating with all of you, it is your bravery and your courage that now inspires me. The stories of all my beautiful fans, the young soldiers, the homeless LGBT youth, anti-gay violence, the effect that the denial of gay marriage has on real families worldwide. These are the stories that must be told to the world. These are the stories that will change the world. These are the stories that speak out in the defense of love. We are here today because we are not less valuable. We are here to proclaim our strength, our steadfastness, and our intelligence. We will not be treated as anything less than human. On the night of June 27, 1969, in the heart of my home, Manhattan's West Village, the gay rights movement was born. We stood together on that night the same way as we are standing here today, in solidarity for change. But today, we stand with peaceful flags, hope for togetherness. And though simple as it may sound, I repeat myself, shall we move forward in the honor and defense of love? We stand together to demand and to defend basic human rights, full equality, an end to intolerance and discrimination. We have come so far from the days of Stonewall, but despite the political advances made in terms of our rights and visibility as an LGBT people, sadly the truth and the fact is that homophobia and anti-gay violence and bullying are alive and real. I have spoken out all over the world repeatedly and viciously about these issues. I'm often questioned why so much gay speak. I am often questioned, how gay are you, Lady Gaga? Why is this question, why is this issue so important? My answer is, I am a child of diversity. I am one with my generation. I feel a moral obligation as a woman or a man to exercise my revolutionary potential and make the world a better place. And on a gay scale of 1 to 10, I'm a Judy Garland of 42. I am aware that many countries and governments worldwide still restrict their citizens from reading about LGBT issues and challenges. This is what means the most to me in my career, the most to me in my relationship with my fans. I want all of your stories to be heard by the world. Placing censorship on respective medias is what I believe to be the giant wall in our way. It is my profuse belief that your powerful stories will bridge the gap of human commonality. We've all got the same DNA. We were just born this way. It is the block of these LGBT stories that perpetuates hate and discrimination, as it limits the public's ability to perceive of the tremendous effect that inequality has on my generation and on generations to come. I would like to name a few of the governments right now. Lithuania, Russia, Poland, we stand up for Budapest, for Lebanon, and for Middle Eastern countries. It is not just about one law or one example. These laws that have yet to be passed, they set a precedent, and so many young people are being affected. Suicide, self-loathing, isolation, inability to find work or integrate based on fear. So I stand here today not just as a woman of European descent, but as a woman of the world. And I ask governments with you worldwide to facilitate our dream of equality. Help us stand together peacefully. Please do not divide us. I am aware and respectful of religious histories and books. I am compassionate towards young people and families who sacredly honor their lineage. But I am asking the world simply, acknowledge the change. Modern social issues are real. They are serious. And the laws that confine them have a overarching effect on humanity. The precedent set by the government is so influential, and that is why we are here, because it regards that some of us, LGBTs, may never have an equal seat at the table, but we will. For the 15-year-old who struggles with their identity, who and what will they have to look up to? Where is their wedding day? Where does the dream of their potential end, and can it have no limits? Rome, how can we transform the oppression of the past into the liberation of the future. Let us give birth to a new and international ideology. Let us come together and synthesize our histories into today. Let us be revolutionaries of love and use our human powers, our very strong human powers, to save lives and encourage unity around the world. Thank you.
That was international superstar Lady Gaga at the EuroPride 2011 celebration in Rome. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, John Torres and Robert LeBlanc contributed program material. Special thanks to Steve Pride. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out was only made possible by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and our generous listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to learn how you can help with your donations and CD subscriptions. You can also listen to our podcasts or find This Way Out on iTunes. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening. On WRPI, Troy, New York, CFUR, Prince George, British Columbia, to TLC, Yamba, New South Wales, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
Always, man. takes a hold of me, setting me free. And now I know what true love really means. Sent from up above, always meant to be.
Like he said, the name of that track was Always Meant to Be. That was Eugene Ebner, and that was actually from a single released this year. You have been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 9 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles, and J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage, which is produced in Houston. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Falinski. On-air voices are Brian Levinka, Jennifer Renee, J.D. Doyle, Glenn Holt, Summer Iman, and Jack Falinski. For more information about tonight's program, including links to websites and organizations mentioned during the show, visit queervoices.org. And you can send email to jack@queervoices.org. Be sure to listen to KPFT every Sunday morning, starting at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston, a Pacifica Foundation station. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Calendar. KPFT's Community Advisory Board has a meeting coming up.
The KPFT Local Station Board and Community Advisory Board meetings are open to the public. KPFT's website lists the date, time, and location of these meetings, and all are invited to attend. All those interested in attending are requested to check out kpft.org under About KPFT and Board and Committees. Here's information on the upcoming Community Advisory Board meeting.
The next Community Advisory Board meeting is Tuesday, June 14th at 7 p.m.
That meeting is scheduled to happen at KPFT Studios, 419 Lovett Boulevard. This is KPFT Houston.
Day at 9, KPFT features programming by you. It's called Open Journal, and it's an experiment in truly community radio. On Open Journal, regular listeners just like you come into KPFT studios to host their own programs. Sometimes it's talk, sometimes it's music, but it's always unique. Open Journal airs weekdays at 9 a.m. right after BBC headlines. The community spotlight at 9:30 is here for you. Open Journal is what community radio is all about. You can even participate and host your own Open Journal. Just drop by KPFT's website at kpft.org to download an Open Journal application. We provide the help, you provide the knowledge. Tune in to Open Journal at 9 a.m. weekdays. This is KPFT Houston.